And I find that the most successful entrepreneurs have worked somewhere else first.
For sure. That's how you learn how business works.
Yeah, you're learning on somebody else's dime. Like,
exactly.
I tell my employees all the time, I'm like, learn on my dime. Hey, everyone. I'm Morgan DeBond, a passionate entrepreneur and life advisor. With the Journey Podcast, you'll discover that success isn't about the destination, it's about the journey. I'm sharing stories of amazing people who've taken control of their lives. Join me on my own journey to discover the secret sauce behind reaching success with permission from no one else. Welcome back to the Journey Podcast. It's Morgan DeBond. I'm back again with another episode. I'm here with the amazing Les from Balanced Black Girl Podcast. I'm so excited. Welcome, welcome.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Morgan.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk all things wellness and navigating going full-time in entrepreneurship, which you recently made that transition. And then lastly, I want to talk about just like your thoughts on some of the trending conversations around Mafia Girl fitness and all types of trends happening on the TikTok and all types of things in the internet happening today.
Oh my gosh, all my favorite things to talk about. I'm so excited.
So first, tell us about your journey. You most recently were with HubSpot, right? And you're doing content and social. And tell me, like, what made you eventually decide, you know what, I want to be a full-time content creator?
Yeah. So, well, my content creation kind of career started in 2014. I actually started off as a wellness blogger back in 2014 on the side of my then corporate job, which evolved so much to eventually become Balanced Black Girl, which I started in 2018. Wow. And truth be told, even back in 2014 when I was blogging, it was always my end goal to do content full time. Mm-hmm. That was always my intention, was to make a career out of it. At the time, I had used it to transition from finance to marketing, because at the time I was working in corporate finance and the work that I had been doing with content and freelancing qualified me for marketing roles. So that was how I eventually ended up at HubSpot. But it was always my North Star to do my own thing with my own brand and to make my own content full time. And last year, in 2023, I just got to a point where I couldn't do both anymore, and where continuing to do my full-time job was hindering the business. And when I sat down and I put everything on paper, I was like, I'm actually losing money potentially by staying in my full-time job. And so it's time for me to focus full-time. Yeah.
I love that. I actually had a similar experience when I was working full-time and then doing Blavity on the side. And then there was a point where like I couldn't take calls. I couldn't have meetings. I couldn't, just from like a time perspective, I couldn't actually take advantage of the opportunities that were coming my way because I had a day job. And so I think that's actually a really good threshold for people who are thinking about, when do I make that leap? It's like, at what point are you slowing down your growth of your side hustle because you're dedicating all this time to your main job?
Exactly. Right? Exactly that.
And did you have an assistant or a VA helping you?
I did, who actually hired her very recently. I brought her on in the fall of 2023.
Okay.
So it's still been pretty recent working with her, but she's been amazing. She's my project manager who helps me manage all things behind the scenes of the podcast. And that just like opened everything up.
And tell me about the Dear Media deal. Because you were independent for a while. Were you with a network before?
No. So I've been independent for almost the first 5 years of the podcast. Wow. Yeah. And then last year, Dear Media came to me expressing interest in the show. And I actually kind of sat on it for a while. I didn't want to make a rush decision. I took some time to really think about it. I had other friends who are podcasters who worked with the network. I really took some time to sit and think, okay, what would this mean for my show? What would this mean for my business? I talked to my attorney. I talked to some other people in the industry. Ultimately did decide that that was going to be the best decision for the next step of where I wanted to go. So I joined Dear Media also in the fall of 2023. It was like a big time of transition last fall.
Season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, so many people aspire to make content creation their full-time job and aspire to be able to do so in a way that they're not struggling, you know, where it's not like I'm going backwards with my finances by deciding to make this leap. And I think that having a podcast is a lot of work. I think people also underestimate the amount of effort that goes into the amazing things that you do, including all this, like the videos and the cut downs and all of the things. I'm curious, what are the things that you learned in your day job that then allowed you to perhaps be more successful than someone who had just straight up just on content creation without the corporate career?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think corporate experience is so valuable. And I think a lot of people want to skip over that and go straight to entrepreneurship, which is fine if that's what they want to do. But working in corporate for so long taught me so much about just professionalism, business acumen, professional maturity, how to communicate, how to meet deadlines. Mm-hmm. I was a people manager, so I learned how to manage a team, which was so helpful when it came for me hiring for my business, because if you've never managed people before, that is a very specific skill set. So yeah. I got to work at companies that paid me to learn how to manage people instead of having to just learn that on my own in my company where I would lose money. So I think it's amazing for learning and development. You can have so many things at your fingertips in a corporate environment, courses, degrees that your company will pay for that you can then apply to your business.
100%. I completely agree. We did an episode a couple of weeks ago on going from a freelancer to full-time at a company and then making the jump to being an agency owner and like really scaling a business versus just being a solopreneur. And I find that the most successful entrepreneurs have worked somewhere else first.
For sure. That's how you learn how business works.
Yeah, you're learning on somebody else's dime. Like,
exactly.
I tell my employees all the time, I'm like, learn on my dime. Like,
yeah.
Do your work, take all that you can and go jump, mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
And then tell me about your life now. You recently moved. What was that experience? Why did you decide to move?
Yeah. So I've been a West Coast girl my whole life. I was born and raised in Seattle. I moved to LA in 2019, which had its good parts and it had its challenging parts. I basically moved right before the pandemic. So that was, it was really hard. It was a hard time to be in a brand new city, hard to meet people, kind of isolating. I think LA in and of itself without a pandemic can be really isolating. And then you add not being able to leave the house on top of that, and that can be really difficult. But I made the best of it and I had a good few years there. And about this time last year, I was like, you know, I just feel like I want to be somewhere else and I'm not sure what that is yet. I just am feeling kind of stagnant in the little bubble that I created for myself in LA. So I ended up putting my stuff in storage. I went back to Seattle for a bit to spend time with my family. And then I just spent several months traveling. I was traveling around the US. I went to Europe for a little bit, had my little eat, pray, love moment. I kind of called it my adult study abroad because I didn't get to study abroad in college. So it was like, oh, I can do this now, but I have like money and, you know, and not in hostels and, you know, I can enjoy myself. And then I ended up coming to New York for a little bit for what was supposed to be a short visit. And then I was like, wait, I'm actually meeting really great people here. I'm interviewing incredible podcast guests here. I'm getting some great networking in. Like, I think that there's some opportunity for me here. And I just felt a pull to make the move. And so after the holidays, I decided to come stay in New York. So that's where I'm at now, like brand new here. And it's been a completely different experience, but I'm having such a good time.
I rarely meet people who do the reverse. Like, I know a lot of New Yorkers who are like, I'm tired of New York, like grueling, and then move to LA. I rarely meet people who are from the West Coast who are like, I'm going to go to New York. I touched down in New York when I was first fundraising, like early mid-20s. And I would like have hives. It was so stressful to me, like just getting off the plane, the airport where people are asking you if you want to need a taxi. I'm like, you're a scammer. Why are you scamming people who just landed in New York? You're bad for American culture. You know, you get in the Uber, then you're dropped off on a cross street and everyone's like, are you on 7th and 5th? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where
I'm new here. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just a girl from the Midwest. So the fact that you moved, I'm like, oh my God, like that takes a lot of grit. I mean, you've lived like a few different lives. How old are you?
I'm 34. And so part of me is, you know, one of my biggest regrets was like staying in my hometown all throughout my 20s because I didn't, you know, leave Seattle where I'm from, move from there until I was 30. And that if I would have had like the confidence and belief in myself to try a different city earlier, I wish I would have, but I didn't. And so a lot of what I felt in my 30s was like, I created this stagnancy for myself in my 20s, and I'm not going to repeat that in this decade. So my 30s now is me just jumping in, doing the things, being like, I don't have another decade to sit at home like I did the last decade. So we're going to go make some things happen.
Wow, that's dope. That's incredible. And tell me about like your perspective on content creation and the internet. So I cannot figure out TikTok for the life of me. Like I have tried so many different versions of content. Now I'm sure once I say this, all the people are going to go in my comments and tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong on TikTok. I'm open to the feedback. Go ahead and tell me, ladies. But I feel like TikTok is a really weird place. I get Instagram. I also have credibility on Instagram. And it's like linear, right? Because the algorithm isn't as dramatic of showing people random people, right? It's like the people you follow and the people who your friends follow. On TikTok, I'll like post a video and then just the most random people will be there watching it. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't have any context on me. So I sound crazy if you're just like, who's this random Black girl talking about wealth and business and this? And I'm like, well, I actually have credentials, you guys.
Right, right.
So it really feels like just the most weird, odd place. As a consumer, I love it. But as a content creator, as somebody who puts information back out into the world, I find it really challenging. How have you managed the TikTok versus Instagram balance?
I feel really similarly. And maybe for us, it's like a millennial thing. I feel like Instagram, it's like you could put a piece of content up on Instagram and know exactly how it's going to perform. If you've been doing it long enough, you know exactly what's going to hit on Instagram and you can rinse and repeat.
Yes.
Versus TikTok, it is completely the Wild West. It is a total draw. It could do great. It could flop. It could do okay. And then 3 months from now, all of a sudden you have an influx of people and it blows up. And it's just kind of the Wild West. And I do think the randomness of it is what makes it fun as a consumer. But as a creator, it is kind of hard to crack the code. And so, and I don't feel like I've really kind of found my groove on TikTok yet either. I've almost been... Oh, thank you.
But it maybe because I'm a millennial.
Yeah, it's like you kind of get it.
Yeah,
I've almost been treating it kind of like a close friends on Instagram. Mm. It's like stuff that I wouldn't really post other places, or like maybe it's a similar. I posted the same video on Instagram, but I cut it down to be a little bit more curated. And then in TikTok, I'll leave it a little longer with all of my thoughts and like ad libs and side comments and ways for people to feel like they kind of know me as a person a little bit more, kind of things in the family. Like I think my actual first mention of me being full-time on my podcast was in a TikTok. I just put a caption like, day in my life as a full-time podcaster, but I hadn't actually announced it anywhere else.
Right,
so that's kind of how I'm treating it. And it's been good for engagement quality over quantity, because I then have people in my comments who are looking forward to it and they're rooting for me and they're excited. I also did have a video, it was almost 2 years ago, that went viral on TikTok that I wasn't even in. It was just a voiceover from a clip of a podcast. And I had so many people in the comments being like, is this Balanced Black Girl? I recognize your voice. And I have to be honest, I don't know if I would recognize someone's voice without seeing them just from a random clip online. And so that was also what showed me like, okay, there are people here who are really engaged in a different way. And so, it's like a puzzle.
I feel the same way. I didn't share my pregnancy much on Instagram because I've got a lot of men who follow me and like people are weird on Instagram. When I announced I was pregnant, I lost like so many followers. Anytime I posted anything about baby, pregnancy, anything, just unfollows, which is fine because go ahead and leave. But I found it interesting. I was like, that's fine. I don't need to, I'm a business person. I can post all my entrepreneurship stuff there. But on TikTok, similarly, I used it as kind of like a digital diary. And so I posted a lot of pregnancy stuff. So it was funny because people on LinkedIn had no idea I was pregnant. Still have no idea that I had a baby. People on Instagram kind of know, but you know, you could have missed it. And then people on TikTok are like, where's the baby? How's the baby?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why haven't you posted the baby? Is everything okay? And I'm like, everyone calm down.
They're invested.
But I agree. It's like people on TikTok get like really engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they like want to know who you are as a person in totality versus on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what can you teach me? This specific thing that I followed you for, I only want that. Yes. Versus for TikTok, if you only show one side, they're like, wait, but what about all these other sides? I want to see it all.
What are you eating? What's in your fridge? Yeah.
Always.
And now a word from our sponsor for today's episode. In the world of social media, connection is everything. Entrepreneurs, content creators, designers, and all types of brands and small businesses need to engage with their audience and share their online identity. A .bio domain is a great way to do that. I love buying domain names because it helps me share with the world new information and have a clear place to manage my links and content. Short, memorable, and professional, your .bio domain name is the best way to share yourself with the world. Right now at porkbun.com/thejourney, you can get a .bio domain name for your link in bio page for a low price, plus tons of freebies like SSL certificates, web and email hosting trials, and more. Now let's take a quick break from our sponsor. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the right tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you literally can't find anywhere else, and it does all of that while making the process easy and intuitive. I use LinkedIn every single time when I'm hiring candidates for Blavity and for Devon & Co., and I consistently find the top people who are right for our company's roles. Hiring is so much easier when you have that many quality candidates to source from. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. So head over to LinkedIn to post your job for free on linkedin.com/divine. That's linkedin.com/divine to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. Thanks, LinkedIn.
I think in some ways, I think TikTok is fun like that. Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube channel for the podcast. So I share video episodes of the podcast. And I think for me, for YouTube, I'm good with that. Like, I don't know if I want to be a YouTuber, like YouTube vlogs and things like that. It just doesn't appeal to me to like create
that. A lot of work.
It is. I'm like, I don't want to film myself going to Target and doing this like 45-minute vlog.
And moving the camera 10 times in Target. It's a lot of work. I feel like same thing. This podcast is up on YouTube and I like the engagement that it has because I feel like it's people who actually are podcast listeners who want to watch the video because I'm very expressive. I use my hands. I'm like, you kind of have to watch it to understand what I'm saying. But I do feel like you can't grow a YouTube channel unless you really want to make YouTube content, which is different.
Yes, correct.
And it's just distributing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about monetization. I'm so curious. If you had to have a Venn diagram of your world now that you're a full-time content creator or even a pie chart, how would you allocate the different buckets of ways that you've been able to monetize?
Yeah, it's shifted quite a bit. So when I first started, particularly the podcast, I had already had a few years of kind of Instagram influencer, wellness blogger, and I'd already been making money in that space for a few years. And I was still working a 9-to-5. So at that time, I would use the money that I made from influencing to fund the podcast. And then my 9-to-5 was how I lived. Mm-hmm. Because starting a podcast can also be expensive and very resource intensive. So that was what I did for several years until I got to the point where I could monetize the podcast. When the podcast got big enough, I started running ads on the podcast from sponsors. And still for a while, most of the money that I was making was coming from social media partnerships. It was probably about 60% social media sponsors and maybe 40% podcast ads. And then back in 2022, it reached kind of a tipping point where it was like 50-50 once the podcast got a bit bigger. And then last year, it kind of swung the other way where now it's probably about 60% revenue from the podcast and, you know, about 40% from social media sponsorships, which is great. But now that I'm full time, I'm like, okay, I can't just rely on brands for revenue. So some of my big goals for this year are expanding into other ways that I can make money directly. So podcast merch is coming soon. Physical products are coming soon. Digital products coming soon, which I'm really excited to be able to like directly serve my audience.
You didn't say membership. You didn't say subscribers.
I did not. I used to have a few different memberships. I've done the Patreon thing. I also had kind of like a wellness self-care membership for a while. And it just didn't like land for me as a creator. Like I had people in my audience who were interested. But I just creating like bonus content and like the community management side of things, it just like wasn't work that I enjoyed. And so I was like, yeah, this isn't something that I want to continue.
Yeah, I have a membership for Work Smart and for entrepreneurs. And I think the thing with memberships that people underestimate is it's a lot of work all the time, right? Yes. So when I got pregnant, I was like, you know what, I can't do this year. So everything is self-study. People can decide what they want to kind of DIY it for themselves. They get all the videos. And then when I'm back off mat leave, then I'll turn it back on and people can sign up for the membership. But it is a lot of effort.
Yeah. And it's constant, you know, it's every month, new programming, new things. And so I was like, you know, it just like wasn't work that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I respect that. I want to go back to the cost of podcasts and the fact that you reinvested in yourself, because again, I think so many people skip over what it takes to actually
be a full-time successful person who gets paid to be themselves, right? Yeah. And I have talked about this actually in the last few episodes because I just really want people to understand the steps that it takes to be able to do these things. And what you said was you had your full-time job and that covered your living expenses, right? And that was like your operating cost just to exist in the world. Mm-hmm. Then you had your income that was coming in from brand deals and sponsorships from social. And it's not like you went out and bought a Gucci bag. You reinvested that money, right?
Yeah.
Back into a new product that you were trying to build, which is your podcast, yeah, so that you could grow and scale that. And it wasn't until that's 5 years, like yeah, that's a long time more almost, you know, mm-hmm, that you reinvested that income, not to change your quality of life, not to do all these things, but to build a more sustainable platform for yourself so you could make that leap. That takes a lot of self-discipline and not getting distracted, especially mm-hmm, in this world of consumerism. So
yeah,
like shout out to you for real. And did you have separate savings accounts? Like walk us through how you actually did that, because there's someone listening right now who's like, okay, I'm willing to make that short-term sacrifice of 3-4 years mm-hmm, so that I have a long-term freedom and flexibility to work for myself and yeah, have diversified income and know that I'm going to be able to make money regardless of what happens in the marketplace. How did you actually set that up for yourself?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you saying that. I do consider myself a very disciplined person. And it dawned on me recently that I was like, I think my discipline is my superpower. And I think that yeah, served me in content, in wellness, is like my ability to just lock in. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, from the second I started making money from content, I set up a business and I always had very separate personal and business finances and never mm-hmm, convoluted the two. So, mm-hmm, you know, got my business set up, hired an accountant, had mm-hmm, my, you know, business checking account, saving account, credit card, anything that is for the business gets, you know, paid for from that. Any salary that I pay myself as an employee gets paid out of the business. And I always kept it very, very separate so that it was very mm-hmm, easy for me to see what was coming in, what was going out, what was getting reinvested back into the business. I always great, say, that's not my money. That's Balanced Black Girl's money. And there's a very big right, difference between yes, my money and her money.
That's what I say about Blavity. I was like, Daddy Blavity paid for that. That is right, not Morgan Blavity's money.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so I always had that mindset from day one. Like that is not my money. That is the right, business's money. That is the platform's money. And mm-hmm, everything that, you know, circulates from it is to help the platform and even compensating myself as an employee. Right. Because if I'm not compensated, I can't show up and host. But that's a line item just like everything else.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important that people don't commingle funds. Separate bank accounts. And then also to your point, I think it's great that you were paying yourself, even if it's an owner's draw, like at the end of the year where it's like, I'll take some percentage of profits and keep some in. Like, I think it's important that people think about how they're setting up their business account and then how within their business account, what are you using for reinvestments? What are you using for yourself? And then what are you using just to operate, you know, to be able to afford the virtual assistant or personal assistant or executive assistant to be able to buy the equipment and things like that. And too often I see entrepreneurs just have like one account. And yeah, I think that can really be detriment to how quickly you can grow. Because you can also see what your general balance is of your bank account and see, oh, wow, I'm actually doing well. Like it's a bit of an affirmation when you have a bank account that's just for business. You're like, oh, this is growing. And I have some invoices out and mm-hmm, like, okay. And in my opinion, it helps build confidence. When I look in the Devon & Co. account, I'm like, okay, girl, like
yeah,
we're doing things, you know? And mm-hmm, I think that's so important that people have that clarity, and so it can ground them in, yes, you're doing a good job, stick with it, this can be hard, but like one step at a time.
100%. Yeah. And a resource I forgot to mention that can be really helpful, it was helpful for me, was I read the book Profit First. Have you read that book before?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's super helpful for anybody who wants to figure out how to structure their business finances, yep, because it tells yep, you, okay, what percentage do you save for taxes? What percentage do you save to pay yourself? What percentage do you save for operating expenses? And learning kind of that flow of funds just helps you manage things more.
It's so good. Profit First. And then the other book that I recommend for people, it's a little weird because a lot of people aren't thinking about this yet. It's called Built to Sell. Built to Sell is a book and also has a podcast that I think is really good. But basically, it teaches you how to build a business that can operate without you. So even if you're not going to sell the company, like even if you're like, I'm never going to sell this, you can at least feel comfortable going away for 6 months and coming back and the business will have made money, or you know what systems to put in place. And it's just a good gut check. So I read that book once a year for both Blavity and my personal businesses, because it's like, okay, I'm not selling the company, but like if I were, where are my weaknesses and what are things I need to improve?
Ooh, that's so good. I wrote that down because I add that to my list to read next for sure.
So good. And I do have a reading list for anyone who's listening in. You can go to morgandevon.com and get my reading list. Profit First is on there. Built to Sell is on there. A couple other ones as well.
You've done the hard part. You've created your business, taking the leap to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode of a great podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about marketing strategies. In this episode, you'll learn how to identify your target customer, where to find them, and which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business, looking to take a side hustle full time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, this show covers it all. Coming up this month on the show, you'll learn how to grow your email list from Jenna Kutcher, and you'll get a step-by-step guide for accelerating your business growth with my favorite, Amy Porterfield. Make sure to follow This is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss those fantastic episodes. And big thanks to This is Small Business for sponsoring the Journey podcast by Morgan DeBond.
Okay, so let's talk about the girls' trends happening right now.
There's so many trends. They come so fast now.
Like, who makes these? Do you have a perspective of like the origin of how these things are made? Where does this stuff come from?
I mean, I think TikTok has really accelerated trends for sure, because the way things can go viral, one person can say something and then all of a sudden it's a trend that everybody is talking about. And I think that's why the trend cycle is so short, because it's like TikTok specifically is helping things move so quickly.
Mm-hmm. My favorite trend from last year was the cottage cheese and the chicken sausage with the mustard. Did you ever eat that?
I did not. I mean, I eat all those things separately, but I didn't
know
that.
But not together. No. That's the weird thing about trends is sometimes I feel like you just get in this echo chamber where it feels like everyone in the universe is doing this.
Right.
And then every time I mention the chicken sausage with the cottage cheese and the mustard, people stare at me and I'm like, was this not all over your feed? Am I weird?
Now that my phone hears us talking about this, I'm sure I'll get served it later today.
Sure you will. What was your favorite trend from last year?
My favorite trend from last year, I mean, I thought that it was really great when all the girlies were doing Pilates. The Lori Harvey Pilates trend I thought was good, just because it got people moving. I'm still a wellness girly at heart. It got the girlies trying new workouts, and I'm always all about that. And I also think that the soft life trend just started a lot of interesting conversation. I don't even know if I necessarily have super strong feelings about the trend in one way or another, but it just started a lot of very interesting conversation. And I just liked being a fly on the wall and hearing what people had to say about it.
Yeah, I love the soft life trend. The other one that has been popping up a lot, probably because my phone is listening, is like stay-at-home moms who don't struggle. It's like stay-at-home moms are like, I'm a kept woman. What are you talking about? Like, I go get my nails done. Everything is good. I'm like, oh, what a dream.
Yes, yes.
More recently, I've noticed that you've been posting a lot about relationships and living in your single girl era. How's that going?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my single girl era is feeling more just like a single girl life at this point. And, you know, that's all right. It's where I'm at. It's what my life looks like. And so I'm just really embracing that. But I know that a lot of people may not necessarily feel that way and want to be more, I don't even know if proactive is the right word, but they're a bit more adamant on, you know, figuring that area of their lives out. So it's like, we've talked about it on the podcast or creating content about it to try to help those people who may be ready to like really dive in and show that area of their lives some love and give them some support to balanced ways to do that.
It's really hard. What are the kind of things that you're telling people for those who might be interested in listening to those podcast episodes?
Yeah, we had a really great episode recently featuring Damona Hoffman, who is a really fantastic dating expert. She's been an OG podcaster in the game. She's been like helping people find love for almost 2 decades. And she recently wrote a book called F the Fairy Tale, which is basically mm-hmm. like decondition yourself from all of the programming that you've heard, because it's actually mm-hmm. not in your greatest good. Understand who you are and what your values are, because that's what's most important for, you know, helping you have a lasting partnership. And so we had a conversation just really helping the girlies prioritize what's important if they're seeking yeah. a partner for long-term compatibility, and ways that they can feel just more affirmed as they seek that.
Yeah, I feel like that's so important. I had Yvonne Orji on the podcast a while back, and she was talking about that she's not begging anyone to see her or right. to understand her value. And I think that so much of the society and the internet and like a lot of the male dominated radio and podcast hosts have just, particularly for Black women and ambitious women, have made it seem like, oh, you guys are lucky if somebody wants to be with you because you're difficult, you've got a lot going on, you know, you're not necessarily a subservient woman, all the things. And I think it can really mess with your psyche. So I love the episode that you did, just helping women have this ideas and help the girls be like, no, this is fine. This, screw these voices. Turn that down. I'm actually okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have to operate from a deficit mindset right. that I'm like entering yeah. a world with a deficit. You are a gift. This should be okay. This doesn't have to be so emotionally draining to even enter. People have so much anxiety exactly. just to enter the dating world.
Right. Exactly. And it ultimately should feel good. It's going to be hard to find something that feels good if the process doesn't feel good.
Yeah. If you have a lot of stress around it. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. What else should people look forward to in your world this upcoming year?
Yes. Okay. So lots of exciting things for Balanced Black Girl coming up. So as I said, we're finally going to have some merch, which is coming. More amazing episodes. I also am hoping to go on tour later this year, doing live shows in our major cities. So be on the lookout for that, likely in the fall.
Very, very excited. Tell me about that process.
Yeah. So I have gone through my analytics to identify the top cities where most of my listeners are, which most of it is kind of like major cities, yeah. you know, New York, LA, DC, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so we're planning on doing some live conversations in those cities so that our communities there can meet us and meet each other, and just another fun way to engage. So I'm really excited for that.
I love that. I think you're going to wind up with the membership again.
Do you?
If you're having live events.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to connect the women who have the same interests and values together. It's hard to make friends as a woman mm-hmm. after college and after like kind of that shared experience when we're younger. It's really hard. And it's hard to find women who have the same values. You know, there's cohorts of women that love to party, that love to hang out, that want to be at the bars, want to be doing hookah and all types of things. And then there's the cohort of girlies who are like, hey, let's go on a Pilates date.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
And not always easy to find those people, especially if you're moving around a lot, which I feel like our generation does. I bet that they're going to ask you for a way to stay connected.
I love that what you said about making friends. One, because it's very true. But last year we did an episode all about friendships and like platonic mm-hmm. intimacy, making friends as an adult. And it was not only our most popular episode of 2023, it was the most popular episode we've ever done. And really? I was not expecting the episode to just like blow up like that. Most listened to, most shared, people wow. loved it. So we also have more friendship content coming this year to expand mm-hmm. on some of the things we talked about. But yeah, it really is my vision, at least in those live events, to be able to have some space where people can connect with one another. Connecting with one another. I'm like, that's way better. Y'all hear me talk all the time. Who cares?
Yeah.
If I'm there, I want y'all to connect with one another and meet each other and make friends.
That's right. The facilitator, everybody else. Y'all got it.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. In terms of the tour, because I feel like it's really interesting that podcasters, I've just been noticing that people have been doing this a lot more. I think the first person I heard of that was doing live events for the podcast was Mileek. And mm-hmm. I remember she did a couple events in Atlanta and they would just like sell out so fast. I mean, people love Mileek. I love Mileek. The world loves Mileek. Do you feel like it's going to be a new business like product offering for you and your like brand partnerships?
That's what I'm hoping for. So we're working on securing brand partnerships for it now. So I would love that. I would love for that to be a future avenue for us, for sure.
So good. Okay, so we've got the tour coming. You're working on friendship content. You're working on relationship content. Mm-hmm. And you're working on merch. Are you drop shipping the merch, or what's your plan for how you're building out merch?
Yeah, well, thankfully, Dear Media has a merch team who helps us with the merch, which is great. That's why it's happening, because then I'm like, I live in a studio apartment, me packing orders of merch in here.
That's why I was like, how are we doing this merch? Tell me more.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Thankfully, through our partnership with Dear Media, they're helping with the merch. So I'm designing it, concepting it, and then they create it and get it to our amazing people. So very excited.
That is the benefit of partnerships. There's another book I recommend called The Sumo Advantage, which is a book about how you can grow faster through partnerships oftentimes, and you should think about who are the complementary partnerships where it's not a competition. It's not like there's no deficit. It's only 1 + 1 = 3. And also you can have partnerships for certain seasons. You know, it's not like something that you do now has to exist for 5 years, 10 years. It could be, we're going to do this thing for 2 years. Even if I'm not making any money, I might be growing to build this foundation. And then in 2 years, I can reevaluate things. I know nothing about Dear Media's terms or anything. They actually declined me twice, this podcast twice.
Really?
Fascinating. It's fine. I'm over it because we're doing really well. But
yeah, you're doing amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great. But I always had to tell the people, like, it's okay to be declined, even though now I just have a chip on my shoulder about the podcast world. But anyways, the point is you can have partnerships with different people, and that can help you grow much, much faster. So it's great to hear that you're having that experience.
Yeah.
And definitely. I'm glad that I signed you.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, yeah, that was kind of my goal, because I was independent for so long. I was nervous about, like, okay, if I join a network, what does that mean? And I had had some other networks reach out who just had like terrible contracts where I was like, no, they're trying to own my IP. I'm not down with that. That's not, you know,
so bad.
So keeping my IP was huge, but I also just wanted something that was very creator friendly, where I'm like, okay, if I do this, you know, for this year or for this 2 years, how can I leverage the resources that come with that and then reevaluate what works for me? And so that's been my mindset with it.
What are some books or advice or things that you feel like women who identify with you, who want to follow your journey? Of course, they should listen to your podcast. They should follow you on Instagram and TikTok, but any other resources that you want to direct them to?
Oh my goodness. Oh, such a great question. So I'm always reading. I usually have at least like 2 books going at once. I have what I like to call my like self-help morning reads, and then my nighttime fiction to like turn my brain off and unwind. Currently reading The 5 a.m. Club as my nonfiction read. So it I actually have mixed feelings about this book, but I'm trying to see it through. But it does have it's some ambitious. Good. It is ambitious. I feel like it's a little, I'm like, why is this book 300 pages for something that could have been like 20?
It's repetitive.
It is. But if sometimes, you know, I'm building grit, I'm getting through it. A good one for people who may want to improve their morning routines. But a book that I actually read last year that I really loved was a memoir by a friend of mine, Nicole Walters, called Nothing Is Missing. That was just a really great book that had not only elements of memoir, but she was also teaching in it. And it was just really inspiring. And for me, helped energize me around the power of choice and how much choice that I do still have over the things that happen in my life, and really taking accountability for that. So that was a really good book. Another great book that has really helped me is called Reach Out. I also read that last fall. It's a good one for anyone who really wants to just build their network and have stronger relationships with people who are already in their network. It provides like a really easy to follow framework of ways to follow up with people, to stay top of mind, to support people in your network, how to ask people in your network for support. It was just like a really good, straightforward read for anybody who maybe feels a little stiff networking or needs a little help. Yeah. It makes it really easy and really human. So those are 2 good books that I read recently that
A good one. Sometimes I have a hard time reaching out to people, and I just like batch it. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do all my outreach this week. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done for like 2 months, and I'll do it again. So good. Well, thank you so much for joining the Journey podcast. I look forward to hanging out with you soon.
Yes. You're coming on Balanced Black Girl soon. So I'm very excited to have you.
I can't wait. We can talk all things relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, you have had so many amazing transitions in your life over the past year. So I'm really excited to dig into those and just hear about how that's going for you and how you're feeling.
So subscribe to both of our podcasts, everyone. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Leave us a review. Leave me a review. Go to Balanced Black Girl. Listen to her episodes. Leave her a review. And we'll see you guys soon. See you. Thanks for listening to the Journey Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review and head to our Instagram and YouTube to leave a comment. I look forward to hearing how this podcast has made an impact on your own journey.